Watch out for, because there are some things in this world that look pretty good, aren't there? There's a whole lot of stuff. I don't know about you, I'm kind of scared of big, long trains. I've seen what they do to cars that get too close. And pennies that get left on there. Anybody ever do that as a kid? You put pennies out on the tracks? My kids don't know that. They're like, Dad's not letting me get close to a train, no way. But that was a fun thing. Guys, open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 14. We're going to continue on in Luke as he is talking, and right now, you know, Luke has been invited to a feast from a Pharisee. And we all talked about, of course, what happened before, because in that feast, Jesus was noticing a few things, of course, that weren't quite right. Now, you notice the sermon's title is, "You Are Cordially Invited." Y'all know what cordially means? Do we use the word cordial anymore? Not a whole lot, do you? But, you know, we still think about it as that. It means warm-hearted. It means friendly. You know, guys, I want to tell you something. One thing that was said yesterday by the Price family when they were here, they said, "I want to thank very much." And they knew they had a lot of friends at Sierra Baptist Church. But they did say this. They said, "We felt like we were welcomed and at home." They wanted to especially thank the people who were putting things together in the back, and especially that kitchen crew who made sure that they were there cooking early and taking care of them. And they said, "This meal honored our Father." So thank you. Thank you for doing that. And it made them feel cordial. We were being cordial to them, right? Hopefully. Warm-hearted. And last week, Jesus talked about Pharisees and their problems. He says, now, y'all know when Jesus talks about Pharisees, he's not just talking about Pharisees. I don't know, guys, when you read the Bible, do you read the Pharisees like, "Oh, look at those guys"? Or do you, because isn't that a tendency? We're like, "You're right, Jesus, you go get them. All those evil, bad guys," you know. You ever stop and look sometimes and going, "Wait a second, maybe he's talking to me"? Because I know I do that sometimes. I think, "Oh yeah, let's go get them, Lord." And it's like, wait a second, do I do that? It's like reading through Romans and Paul's trying to show people. It's like, "You who say you're not okay." He talks about the Gentile world, those who don't know God. And then he says, "Wait a second, Jewish brothers and sisters over here, what about you?" It's like, oh no. You know, you've been that one, right? When Dad's chewing somebody out and you're smiling, it's like, wait, you're up next. You're like, hold on. And the idea is that, again, not that he's going off on a rant, but that we all have sin in our lives. And sometimes when we look through it, it's easy to miss out. And sometimes you're like Jesus. He's like, "I'm talking to you." And so when we have this in here, he's talking about these people who, when they go out and they give feasts, he says they invite their friends and people of high status, people who can pay them back somehow, right? If I invite, you know, Richie, I know that he'll invite me someday. Or if I go do a good thing for Lori, she'll do something for me, tit for tat. He says, when you invite somebody, when you go out to have a feast, invite, remember what it was? The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. You go and invite people. Now we look at that and say, well, that's a good thing, isn't it? We should go invite somebody who can't repay. And that's what he says, especially in that culture. We talked about it. There's poor people everywhere. We got a lot of those. We know they can't pay. Well, the crippled, a lot of times that word could even mean someone who was visually disfigured. You guys know in the Bible, and it said way back, especially in that culture, what would happen if you had something wrong with your hand? If you had some kind of scarring, something that kind of messed you up. In that culture, was that looked at in a good way? Like, oh, no big deal, it's all good. No, you might be even looked at slightly as an outcast. Remember, physical deformities would keep you from how close you could get to being a part of the worship of Israel. And so these are things which kind of made people feel like on the outside, like others. He says, you go find those others and you bring them in. And by the way, how about the lame, right? That's talking about a disability somehow of the legs. Either you're limping or guess what? You're wheeling. Not too many wheelchairs in the old days, you think? If you were lame, people, what was likely your profession? You were begging. Help. You know, guys, if you invite a lame person back here that Jesus is talking about, you are probably going to be the one to go help them and pick them up. If they didn't have someone to get them there, guess what? It's you. You ever invite someone to church and then they got, well, I don't know if I have a ride. Guess what? You're the ride. Amen? I'm just saying, sometimes we have to go do that. When he's telling him to go get these people, he's not just saying they may not be able to pay you back. Jesus is even saying it's going to cost you something. It might even be hard for you to go out and to reach these people. And of course, the blind, same thing as the lame. They didn't have much of a profession usually. They were likely begging. And you know what? The blind didn't just have problems walking. They could not see. And they needed others to help and lead around. But here's the thing. Guys, it's easy to read things. It's easy to see it. How many of y'all know that it's also easy to have an excuse? Anybody else? Billy Sunday's got a famous quote. I've said it before, and a lot of people have said it, and he says, an excuse is the skin of a reason that you stuffed with a what? A lie. Oh, here's the reason I can't do this. Well, that's a funny looking reason. I know, maybe you've heard that out of my lips. I know I've done that before, going, oh, I can't because of this or do that. And all of a sudden we start looking at it going, let us examine your reasons, shall we? Guys, everybody, every one of us has a reason for everything we do. Some of them are good and some of them not so good. And what we can do is make excuses. And I think that's one of the things we're worried about here. You see, I've seen a whole lot of things that we can take a look at and say, well, there's some good reasons and there's some not so good reasons. You know, I've been a teacher. How many of you guys have worked in education before? I know I got some over there. How many of y'all heard, right, when the papers due and stuff didn't come in? Bobby knows. She goes, yeah, I had these things. Yeah, I don't know. I never heard my dog ate it. I guess that was beyond those guys. Especially when things are digital, you can't complain it. But boy, have I heard things like that. Oh, my Chromebook broke. I couldn't get it emailed to you, you know. There's all kinds of things that come in. You know, and sometimes when you're in trouble, how many of us have liked to use distraction, right? Yeah. Are you okay? Is it a little warm? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. If you want to shoot, I know this is, you're right under it. It's going to get you. But I guarantee if you did move, they won't follow you. But yeah. Oh, not that one. There you go. There we go. Give it a minute. Well, it'll slow down for you, okay? There we go. You're welcome, Tess. Glad you're here. And so we sometimes use these blurt outs and these things, not just excuses, but distractions, because we don't really like it sometimes when something hard is preached. And you know what's kind of funny? You guys know sometimes that Jesus had the same thing happen? He would teach something very plain and very true, and it's out there, and then somebody would blurt out and change the subject because they didn't like what was going on. Remember back when Jesus was, he's casting out demons, right? Doing this amazing stuff. And then, someone's like, well, you know what? He's just casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And Jesus says, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. You know what happened? Someone blurts out something different in the crowd. Hey, good stuff, man. And you know what's funny? Do you think Jesus wasted any distractions? There was a pattern in Jesus' ministry. He would take a doctrine he was trying to bring about. Somebody would give a distraction, then he would do a redirection. And sometimes he would bring them right back to the point, or sometimes he would just go off fine. You want to talk about that? Let's go there. Any good teacher will use distractions as redirections to things. And so, I tell you, sometimes when I have distractions, you guys see me. Like even today right now, sun's off a little bit, I'm just kind of standing there, right? Sometimes deer in the headlights. Sometimes I can just kind of roll with it. But you see, in that time, Jesus just redirected her. He says, hey, you know what? Blessed is your mom. Now, that was a nice thing to say about your mama, right? It wasn't a mean your mama. It was, hey, man, it said, blessed is the woman that bore you, the breast that nursed you. That's great. And he's like, you know who's more blessed? Those who hear the word of God and believe it. He just kind of turned it right back around. Because guess what? Jesus is who? The Son of God speaking what? The word of God. And so he's doing this like, hey, focus. Listen. Focus. Don't do that. Let's focus this up. Now, what she said wasn't a bad thing. It was a compliment, but he brought it back to the point. We talked about it before that when Jesus was preaching to the crowd, when he just had another time with the Pharisees, and he's talking about their hypocrisy, their false pretense, right? He says they're wearing a mask, pretending to be one way, but in their hearts they're different. And he's going out to the crowd and he's warning them, don't be like these dudes. Not because just being a Pharisee is bad, but because what they're doing is bad and everybody does it. Don't pretend you're something you're not. Be honest before God and repent. See, that's the thing. A lot of people say, well, that's great. I should be proud about X, Y, and Z. I said, well, there's a difference. Jesus didn't say be proud about everything you're doing. He says be honest about what you're doing. Be transparent. Recognize what's really going on. And then we can come to God honestly. And then somebody blurts out, my brother won't give me my money. Remember that? Where's my money? It's my money and I need it now. Remember that part, right? And that guy's like, and Jesus is like, man, who made me a judge between you? Like, okay, fine. And then he starts and redirects again to a distraction. He says, you want to be rich? Go be rich towards God. Well, you see, here is something where Jesus is talking about some really, really important stuff. He's gave a parable to all these people there about the banquet of God. And he said, Folks, there's a lot of people who are going to come to that banquet door and find it what? Open? Closed. He says there's many people who are going to come and knocking, and they're going to find out the banquet's begun and the door is closed. It is shut. You didn't come when you were called. And then somebody here in Luke chapter 14, verse 15, says again, probably a nice thing. It says, but when one of these who were reclining at the table with him heard this, verse 15, chapter 14, he said, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, is that wrong? No. If you're in the kingdom of God, eating food with the Lord, that's a good thing. I want to eat In-N-Out with my Jesus. Animal fries. I don't know about if it'll be burgers there, but animal fries I think are good. So we got this. It's probably going to be. And he says, this is great. Is he wrong? No. But here's the point. Jesus just spent the time saying, are you getting it? I'm worried about those who are not going to make it, who are not going to come in. I'm talking about people who are going to find a closed door. And you're just like, well, blessed is everyone who's inside. Guys, does Jesus care about the ones outside? Yes. Yes, he does. And so this man, giving kind of a distraction, you're not getting the point. Jesus, again, tells another parable. Now follow us in verse 16. It says, and he said to him, a man was giving a dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent to his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make what? Excuses. Right? What's an excuse? It's a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Everybody's got a reason, guys, but it doesn't all mean that they're good. So they offer them this. Now, here's something to think about. A wedding banquet would have been invited in a couple of ways. Number one, it was a big to-do. You didn't want to deny a wedding invitation. In fact, you guys probably know Jesus at the wedding of Cana, right, where he turned water to wine. Do you understand that if they had run out of wine at that, there were documented lawsuits about people who didn't extend appropriate hospitalities at their own party? Guys, if they ran out of food or ran out of wine or something, it was considered, if you're going to host it, you better have everything for everybody. Aren't you glad we're not under those kind of obligations? Could you imagine that? You went to the church potluck and said, they ran out of lemonade before I got there. I'm talking to my lawyer. You know? Different culture, different standards, but do we not have things like that? Remember Jesus, we talked about foot washing. Remember when he went to the home of Simon, right? And says, Simon, when I came, you didn't even give me a little water to wash my feet, right? He said, but this woman came and he washed my feet with her tears. You see, this was an expectation of that culture that these things would be present. And it was pretty serious. And what they would do is that they would plan sometimes for months on this big shindig. And they would send out like an RSVP. Here's the invitation. In so many months on this day, we're going to have a party. And here's the thing. Many months later, when the day came, the master would send out servants and say, everything is prepared. Come. This was something a part of their culture. We give out times on our RSVPs. They would have said, we will come and get you when everything is set. And then come and enjoy. Now, y'all know this. First of all, I'm going to go ahead and put point number one. It says, many who are invited refuse to come. Because that's hard. I see that face going there. But this is the thing about it. Because look at that excuse. And we'll go into that right now. You see, we see a similar pattern, right? We talked about it last week. Remember how it said that mankind, we tend to evaluate what? We evaluate each other and we elevate our possessions, right? We look at other people and say, well, what's really important to me is these things that I have. We talked about the wrong priorities we often have. And then mankind also evaluates themselves and elevates their own position. The tendency of a lot of people is to look out judgingly on all y'all and, well, I'm not like that. I'm going to boost myself up in my own mind. We call that what? Pride, arrogance, conceitedness, right? Are those traits we like? Everybody say no. No, we don't like pride and arrogance. And so he's criticizing what they had been doing. And yet we see a thing here when the master extends the invitation to the banquets. And then people are offering things or offering some pretty bad excuses. And we'll get to that in a minute. One of the best things you and I can do, folks, is to be ready for the banquet of Christ. I want to get to point number two. It says many who are invited. And here's the thing about it. They've got reasons to refuse. You know, guys, again, I said it before and I'll say it again. You guys remember Chuck Bland? He was previously our Joe. You know, he used to be back there sitting in the back and he did all these things. Chuck worked with them. Hey, new Chuck, just messing. Joe's been here a long time. You've earned your own spot. This is Google Joe. He's our tech guy. When's the last time somebody called you Chuck? Okay, so you're working out it. Okay, that's good. That's good. So Chuck used to tell me every time I grumble about something, he says, Ryan, everybody's got reasons for what they do. You know, he'd say, you just got to calm down. Everybody had a reason for what they do. And we talked about it before. Some people, right, elevating and lifting their things up. Remember the first excuse. In fact, let's go to that. In verse 18, it says, the first one who offered the excuse to the master said, I've bought a piece of land and I need to go look at it. I ask you to consider me excused. Folks, even in our culture, does that sound stupid? Yeah. Yes, it does. Folks, if you bought a piece of land and you didn't look at it, oh, come on. Folks, I think we've all had a little bit of real estate buyer's remorse once in a while. We buy something that looks great. We find out, oh, there's the dry rot. There's the drainage problem. There's the plumbing problem. You find it, you're like, ugh. Have you ever gotten to the place you bought and say, what? This isn't like what I imagined. No, you probably went there. You knocked on the wood. You walked in the house. You looked at where the sun's going to be. You researched this. So this person, even by their cultural standards, you would have gone to look at your land. And by the way, what would have happened if they waited a day and they just went the next day? Come on. I'm really sorry. Can't go to your party. I got to go look at a piece of land. Well, couldn't you do that tomorrow? We've been planning this for months. I could, but the light is so much better now. It's a bad excuse, right? It's lame. And Jesus is pointing out these kind of excuses we like to bring up. How about the next guy, verse 19, and another one said to him, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. Now, again, that's a lot of oxen. The ox was like the number one farm heavy animal, right? This would kind of be like your equivalent of somebody saying, look, I got a lot of land and I just bought a bunch of new work trucks. Well, hey, good for you. Well, I need to test drive them. Folks, if you're buying vehicles without at least a test drive, something's wrong. Again, property unseen, oxen unseen. Well, I got to go test them and see if they're good and they work and they're strong. Folks, you wouldn't have invested the money in that many oxen if you didn't know that they were good. And again, could you test them tomorrow? Yes. You see, these excuses, folks, aren't very good ones. You see, this is sad because Jesus had just been talking to them about a banquet problem, about how now they all showed up to that one, didn't they? And they're talking about the banquet saying, look, you guys are elevating the wrong things. We talked about how there's a habit. Sometimes we can even use God as an excuse to disobey God. Did you guys remember that? Pharisees did it. Remember Korban? Mom and Dad, I'd love to help you in your golden years. Anybody, I've heard so many people say the golden years are not golden. Whoever said that, I want to beat them over the head, right? When those parents say, son, I need help. I'm not able to do this anymore. Your mother and I need you. And they said, sorry, Mom, I've promised all that I have to the Lord. So everything I had that would have been used to take care of my family, which was an expectation, I really have decided to give to God. So sorry. Now, again, Jesus says that's wicked. He said, no, that's not how you do this. Not only are we doing something wrong, he says, you've got your priorities out of whack and you're blaming God for your sin. Is that a good thing? Well, God, I really would do the right thing, but it's your fault. Oh, you laugh, but we do it. You know, God, I would obey you, except you've blessed me with all this stuff I've got to take care of. God, I really would love to obey you, but all my kids... You know, Lord, I wouldn't be so angry, but my wife does this thing. Okay, fine. I really would, but my husband makes me so angry. I got to go to the other side sometimes too, folks, because it's not just one way, right? So we can blame our blessings and blame God for our choices. Should we and can't? We can do that. Should we do that? No. You see, these people have not only blamed their things and their blessings and their choices, but they've also waited. Now, we understand this is a parable. It is a story that is thrown alongside a truth that is meant to help us understand the truth that those guys just weren't getting. Because one of the dudes at the feast who's just been told, consider your heart and your motives. Consider how you look at other people. Consider how you relate to one another. And then he just says, yeah, those outside dudes, but blessed are the ones on the inside. Say, ouch. Ouch! How about, remember the question earlier when we read the Bible? By the way, when Jesus is talking, that's Bible, right? The Son of God speaking, Word of God. Amen. So he's doing all this stuff and they're looking at it going, yeah, whatever. And he goes, guys, you're not getting this. At least to that guy, because it says he addressed, said to him. Would you want to be the one dude to blurt out against Jesus and then Jesus says, excuse me, sir, let me, I'm looking at Jim, I'm not thinking about you, but I'm looking at you. You're the one with eye contact. Sorry, I got you. But he had a right to say, hey, let me tell you a story, Jim. You know, and he's going through this with this guy. But of course, as we listen to what's going on here, we can all listen as hearers going, oh no, that's me too. And so Jesus is telling him about these things and these excuses. Now, how about the last dude? And the other one said, verse 20, I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. This guy didn't even ask to be excused. He just said, sorry, married. This wasn't like a couple of bachelors trying to go fishing. This was a pre-planned feast that was likely a long time in advance. You didn't know you were getting married, or maybe he already was married. He's just like, sorry, I'm married. You know, I have married a wife. Did you tell her you had plans on this day when you got married? And I don't know, man. By the way, I know blaming God is a bad thing for your sin. Don't blame your wife. Just saying. But here's what this guy does. Now, we offer lame excuses, right? And he already talked about some of these things. And by the way, we talked about people offering distractions. But what are these people doing in the story? Again, God has confronted them with their sin. And once again, somebody listening has offered a distraction, an excuse, a redirection. And Jesus is going to redirect again, trying to get the point home. If you guys, let's go ahead if we could, and I want to bring you maybe to the last spot. Number three is many more who are invited still need yet to be told. You see, because when we look at this, you see, all these people, they had put priorities in the wrong places, right? These men who had and women who had been invited to this feast, they elevated the wrong things. Because we all know that in this story, this parable, it's based on truth, isn't it? Guys, who really is the feast holder? Who is the master who's invited people? That's God, right? This is Jesus' party, wedding supper of the Lamb. Salvation has been extended. Who are the people who were invited? Who is the covenant community of God who knew he was coming, who were getting ready for the feast? The Jewish people. And Jesus is telling them, the Son of God is now in the nation of God, in the city of God, telling them, be ready. It's me. I'm here. And many are saying, no. Many are, like first point, refusing to come. Number two, they got reasons. Well, I can't follow you, Jesus. Could you imagine what's going on in the hearts of people? Same things we have today. Well, if I follow you, Jesus, that might cost me some jobs. If I follow you, that might affect my relationships. Not just that it might delay my checking out land or my oxes. But here's the thing we see in the story. Verse 21, and when the slave came back, he reported all these things to his master. Then the head of the household became angry. And he said to his slave, go out at once into the streets, the lanes of the city, and bring here, same people again, the poor, the crippled, the blind and lame. And the slave said to his master, well, what you commanded's been done and there's still room. First, I want to stop you. Guys, if the Lord is the master and there's still more room, you know what he could have said? Yeah, he gave it a college try. We're good. No, he says there's still more room, right? And so what does he do? He says, the master said to the slave, go out and into the highways and along the fences and compel them to come in. That's not at gunpoint, folks. Don't bring the people at church by gunpoint. They don't appreciate it. It says here, they compel them, stir them, tell them, invite. Because those other people didn't get the RSVP, did they? They haven't been preparing and planning. They're just random dudes out there. And he says, go find them. Tell them about what this is. There's a giant banquet, a feast prepared. Come on in. I didn't get the earlier invite. It doesn't matter. Drop what you're doing and come. Isn't that the picture of when we found out about Jesus, most of us? I don't know about you folks. If you didn't grow up in the family of faith and hear it for a long time, and all of a sudden you hear the gospel, it's like there's an invitation. There is the best party in the universe, and by the way, you're invited. What is the right answer to that invitation? Yes, I'm coming now. Let's do this, Lord. You see, so the Master again, he says, I tell you, and I know that this is Jesus speaking on behalf of the Master, but again, who's the Master? It's the Lord. Don't just think of the Master in a storytelling this. I want you to hear this from Jesus' lips as he speaks it. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. Folks, talking to that guy, you saying blessed is everybody who's on the inside of the closed door? I'm telling you that so many of those who were invited, they're not even going to get to taste it. Why? Because they refused to come. Because they put excuses and reasons in front of God and said, no, I can't do this. Sometimes blaming him for it, blaming their wives, blaming their property. I can't do it. I'm sorry. It's not time. Now, Jesus uses a picture of a feast as a thing. He says, if you would have been insulted at this, remember in this culture, legally liable for certain things to violate certain feast rules. He says, guys, this is God of heaven who is opening his door to you and he's inviting you to come. Come. Guys, if the covenant community of faith at that time were the RSVPers, not to be insulted, but who are the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, the highways and the byways? Come on, folks. That's us. You know what? I don't care. Anybody else happy you got invited?
Amen.
Amen. Now, we know that God always had in mind to bring all the rest of us in, right? We know that the Gentiles were not forever to be excluded, but to one day, we see it through the prophets, through his intention of his layout of the temple, the other people of the world had a place to come and be near God. And now Jesus is saying, since the rejection was there, which we already knew would happen, as Paul said, a partial hardening of the Jewish people that the Gentiles may be included, and now God is accessible by faith through Jesus Christ to everybody. Amen? Amen? Heaven's doors are opened wide because Jesus has held them there with his arms stretched out. Not because God didn't want them there, but because he did want them there. The doors are open. Come. But when I shut these, they're closed. And there's people who are going to be sitting outside wanting to be part of the feast thinking, well, I was invited. Because you're right, but when I told you to come, you didn't. You had put other things ahead of me. You prioritized your things. Prioritized other things in front of me. Remember what it says? Seek first all these things, and then my kingdom and righteousness shall be added to you. No, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Going and serving and seeking Jesus doesn't exclude you from the good in this world God has for you. It secures it. But if we're afraid to lose the things and we say no to heaven and our only hope, for the possibility of gathering earthly things that'll crumble in our hands. He said, let it go. Come in. I'm holding the door for you. Come in. You see, and that brings us to that last point. There are still yet many who need to be compelled to come in. Amen? There are still people who need to hear the invitation when it's there. We need to go out there as faithful servants and tell them about the Master. Guess what? Hi, I'm Ryan. Johnny, you are cordially invited. I'm just saying, right? And this is what God is saying. And our job as a Christian is to say to anybody, Johnny, good to meet you. But to say like, hey, God has invited. Sorry to put you on the spot, bro. You were close. And you're, yeah. He said, God has invited. There you go. By the way, everybody, 4 p.m. today, we got a joint service with West Point First Baptist here in the building. Guys, we got a lot of taco stuff from yesterday. We have good people who volunteered to come and bring that up. So if y'all want, it's a potluck with a lot of Mexican food. You don't got to bring Mexican, but you're going to have to eat a lot of Mexican food. So please, you're cordially invited. You won't be here? 4 o'clock, we're going to have another service and a meal after. So you are cordially invited to come. But again, the whole purpose is you're cordially invited to come to Christ. Amen, right? And that's what we want to see. It's like, guys, you guys, I know a lot of you already know this, right? You know, Denny, you are cordially invited to heaven. Amen? Thank you very much. I know. That's what we do as emissaries of Christ. We let people know that Jesus Christ Himself, the Lord of heaven and earth, through whom all things were made, has gone out of His way to hold open the door by His own life and His own blood and say, come. What's holding us back? But we who know and are in, let us not be like the man who sits over here at our posh seat. Remember last week we had the tables up here and we're set up going, I'm getting my feet washed. I'm over here at the banquet table. I see you through the doors world out there. It's really good to sit here and eat bread in the kingdom of God. Well, it is good. But is that what we should be doing? Or should we be the ones going out compelling? You're invited. Christ is holding the door. Are you going to come? We need to be out there telling folks. We need to be out there letting people know. Folks, we're not just the poor, the blind, the crippled, the lame. When we come to Christ, we are the servants who then go and extend the invitation and compel and share and let people know heaven is open. And by the way, look who's holding the door by His hands. He is the door, folks. The only door, the only way, the only truth, the only life, Jesus Christ. He says, enter by Me. The narrow door, the narrow way. So this is our hope and our call as we get to invite people. So I'll tell you what, folks, now's the part you get to say amen as I skip 10 pages of notes and say, in conclusion, let us be grateful that God loved us so much that we get to, amen, hear the invitation. Everybody hear that today? Everybody in line, you hear that today? I said in line, I meant online. If you are wearing rollerblades, you are hearing it in line, but amen? You've heard it. Let's pray. Father God, I'd like to thank You for what You've done in the Word. I want to thank You for the gift of Scripture that we have it. I want to thank You for the opportunity and the ability to hear the message. More than that, we depend on the Spirit of God to make us understand the message. So, Father, I ask supernaturally that You would open up our hearts and minds to receive the message that has been preached. Lord God, let us not be like, and sometimes we are, and You know it. Forgive us for that. Would You please change our hearts and minds that we would not be the one in the room not getting the point, but the one to understand in humility, to see that maybe if my heart is on the outside and I'm stuck and I don't know it, would You open up our hearts to see? Father God, even if we are ones who know, but don't let us be the ones reclining in the feast, looking out the open door and saying, well, too bad for them. Father, help us to look for the poor, the blind, the crippled, the lame, for such were we. And give us compassion on those who still yet are, that we might invite them. Not that we might love everything that everyone does, but to show the compassion and love of Christ to everyone, so that they might receive not us, but You and Your message, Your invitation, that we relay to the world. Even if they reject it, help us to honestly and accurately relay the message of truth. That through the faith in Jesus Christ, we have hope, an eternal one, an open door, and it's only through You. And that we can walk in newness of life, being transformed, repenting of our sins. And though we may yet stumble, we have a way and a Savior who continues to make intercession that we might confess, repent, and walk in newness of life. And the new life we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself up for us, even that death on a cross. I pray that we'd all get that. Jesus, send us out as servants to reach the poor, the blind, the crippled, the lame, the world who still yet doesn't know. Would You forgive all of us if we have been, if I have been negligent and sinful, have not reached when I should have? And we all want to thank You no matter what. Thank You for bringing us in and inviting us and loving us so much. Only you were strong enough to hold open the doors of heaven for us. And we only come in underneath the beautiful blood of Jesus. Only one way. So we thank you for giving us a way, because without you there is none. Help us to tell a world that, not through fear and not through intimidation, but with a compassionate, loving plea, come. He's ready for you. Come. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Folks, would you stand to worship and pray for a minute?